This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Daniel Dickinson. In this week's program, with global support, peace is doable in Darfur and sowing new seeds to end hunger in the Central African Republic. But first, the least developed countries, or LDCs, must go at a higher speed than the rest of the world, and all too few of them have managed to graduate from the group so far. That's the message from Mons Likatov, the president of the UN General Assembly. He was speaking at a recent high-level conference on LDCs in Antalya in Turkey. There are 48 countries in the group, of which 34 are in Africa. Rima Barza spoke to Mr. Likatov about how to boost development in those countries.
The most important goal is to concentrate the attention in the whole process of sustainable development of the necessities of bringing the most vulnerable, the poorest of countries, with us, not only in the same speed, but in much higher speed than the rest of the world. Because we cannot accept that in the next 15 years, there will not be this reduction of the number of LDCs. We have to be sure that there is enough growth in their economies so that there will be many of the LDCs moving out of that category. It has been all too few up to now.
You talked about the links between global stability and supporting the least developed countries. How strong is this link?
Well, many of the least developed countries are still least developed because of pending conflicts. And what we see in the global picture is, yes, we are reducing overall extreme poverty. We have cut it down to half in the past 15 years, but it's concentrating more and more in the conflict-affected areas. So if we don't get hold on conflicts, contain conflicts and conflicts, we will not be able to break the chains of underdevelopment and poverty and hunger.
How does the UN support the least developed countries? Not necessarily by financial means, but how does it materialize?
I hope that the UN will be able, of course also financially, be it development assistance and humanitarian relief to the conflict or climate-affected countries, but also through the way we get the priorities right in the whole implementation of the sustainable development, the way we make the plans and the accountability for also rich countries to contribute to their long-standing commitments towards the least developed countries, the way we are able, I hope, to make sure that the development assistance from both old rich and new rich countries are actually increased to minimum 0.7%, but also that most of it is actually concentrated among the least developed countries and not in the middle income segment, because they are actually defined as countries that will be able to carry forward themselves much better.
Peace is doable in the Darfur region of Sudan with support and encouragement from the rest of the world. That's the assessment of Martin Umohibi, head of the UN mission in Darfur, UNAMID. Mr. Umohibi has been working as joint chief mediator between the warring parties in the region. He spoke to Musi Kamalo about the progress UNAMID has made.
We are here for the people of Darfur and providing humanitarian assistance to those who are in need. One needs to go to those camps to be able to feel and to be able to see what challenge we face and what it is like to suffer the pangs, the agonies, the tortures, the pains of living in camps without any certainty as to what tomorrow will offer and what security do you really have except that provided by, as in this case of the camps, by UNAMID personnel. So in a way, it's been up and down for me, my mixed reactions and mixed feelings that I have on these situations. But it is a mission worth doing, and we're grateful to all those who have supported us in the past 100 days.
What challenges has the mission and you personally faced, and how have you addressed these challenges?
The challenges are great. The conflict is complex. The solutions are complex. The environment is challenging. It's complex in itself. So it's a mixed bag of complex issues. But that is the reason why we are here, and that must not discourage or daunt our spirit. But we are positive people. We are people who are affirmative in our approach. If challenges were not here, we wouldn't be here in the first place. And so long as they are there, what defines you is how well you are able to overcome those challenges.
Jebel Marra is a hotspot for the mission in terms of conflict. Thousands of people over the past few months have been displaced. And how is UNAMID protecting and assisting these displaced persons?
Jebel Marra is the enclave now where you have armed presence in Darfur. The crisis there erupted January this year and perhaps continued at lower levels even till now. But the consequence of the Jebel Marra conflict is that we had close to 140,000 internally displaced persons. Beyond that, we've had problems in Sotoni and Tawila being the most critical of those two areas where access has been a bit of a problem for those who want to deliver humanitarian services, but also for our military people who want to offer protection to civilians and displaced persons. So we are hoping that this will become a thing of the past and the full mandate of UNAMID can be implemented by this removal of obstructions on the path of UNAMID personnel to discharge their responsibilities.
A campaign to help around 50,000 subsistence farming families in the Central African Republic, or CAR, to break out of their cycle of hunger has just got underway. The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, and the World Food Programme, WFP, are providing seeds and tools so that farmers can grow crops and not just survive on aid. Around 75% of the CAR's population depends on agriculture for their food and income. Roberta Canula is an emergency preparedness officer with FAO, and she told Sandra Ferrari more about the innovative campaign.
FAO and WFP, in partnership with many national and international NGOs, are supporting the agricultural campaign in Central African Republic by providing seeds, tools and food items to the most vulnerable farming households in the country. They are providing this assistance right now because this is the period when the food stocks are at the lowest. FAO distributes crop and vegetable seeds, while WFP distributes food items with the intention to protect the seeds, so to avoid that these are eaten by families and they are no longer available at the time of planting. And this is what we call the seeds protection rations.
And how many people exactly will these provisions help?
The agricultural campaign intends to cover 100,000 families, which means around 500,000 people. The first cycle of the campaign, which is the one ongoing right now, is going to cover 50,000 households, which is about 250,000 people. And the second cycle will start in September and will cover a similar number of people.
And how would you describe the overall status of food security in the country?
Various assessments conducted by WFP and FAO in the last months have shown a serious deterioration of the food security situation in the country, with half of the population in a situation of food insecurity. The conflict has severely disrupted agricultural activities and affected the availability and access of the population to food items. And the population has suffered from the cumulative effects of several poor harvests, disrupted markets and soaring food prices. And many of them had to adopt negative coping strategies by selling their productive assets and therefore having a long-term impact on their livelihoods.
And how many people would you say depend on the agriculture sector in Central African Republic?
75% of the population of Central African Republic depends on agriculture for their food and income. So the agricultural sector is key for the development and the future of the country and is the one who has offered the most opportunities for economic growth and working opportunities for young people and for returnees. So kick-starting food production and revitalize the agriculture activities is key not only for the economic growth of the country, but also for its stabilization and for lasting peace.
And what are the next steps moving forward?
The next step for us is to start immediately preparing the second cycle of the agricultural campaign. And we need to ensure that by before July, we have $8 million available for the agricultural inputs support to 50,000 families. But this is not the only activity that FAO is carrying out in the country. In fact, the humanitarian response plan of FAO appealed for $86 million to cover 1.5 million people with different activities in the agriculture, fisheries, livestock sector.
That brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.